This morning, I want to talk from the thought, when the answer comes, when the answer comes. And scripture's been read for your hearing, but I want to add one more verse. Verse 4 of Habakkuk 2, I need to add this. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. We've been talking about prayer a lot, and one of the things that we don't always talk about with prayer is the aftermath. We touched on it last week, but I want to focus more on it because it's not just talking to God. It's not just God talking to you. It is what you do after you've prayed. I can get down on my knees and talk to God, and sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's whatever. But when I get up, there's some stuff that comes after now. A lot of people do pray, but that's all they do. Because they don't always think about, now God wants to see what you're going to do. You've asked God to do a thing, but now it's, what are you going to do at this moment? So we have a prophet, and I like this story because God has unique ways of talking to us. So Habakkuk was a prophet. In the first chapter, just read it one day. All he's doing, and he says this, he complained. He's complaining about what he sees. He's looking around. Everything ain't good. Violence, war, this, that. Enemies are coming in. We ain't got this. We ain't got that. All kind of stuff going on, right? Nothing unusual, right? Nothing unusual. It's stuff that we deal with right now. You know, some of us, when we talk to God, we complaining about stuff. Okay. We complaining about how the government's acting. We complaining about how folk in church are acting. We complaining about our job. We complaining about all kind of stuff. And here it is. And just in case you ain't trying to open up your mouth because you don't want to expose yourself, this is a safe space for you to do it. Because sometimes our prayers really are complaints. And our complaints are based in, we know what God has said about our lives. And we look out and we're like, this ain't looking. You know what I mean? It's kind of like buying something off of the internet. You look at it, it's supposed to look like this. You get it? Nah, this ain't it. This ain't Gucci. This is crazy. That's what this is. You're like you go to sites thinking that you're going to get 90% off, and you really did get 90% off. 90% off quality. 90% off. It don't look like it. It don't look nothing like. So you're complaining. What I've been told does not look like what I'm in. So guess what? You're not alone. Habakkuk is complaining about the circumstances of the nation. And then why does he do this? Verse 1 of chapter 2, he ends the complaint in the first verse of the next chapter. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I have said my piece. So I'm going to wait here until the Lord answers me. And then verse 2 happens. I like how stuff is written. I'm finished complaining, Lord, so I'm going to wait on you. And then the Lord spoke. Almost like, all right, I'll let you have your day. Now, let me tell you how this thing's going to go. And what does it say? And the Lord said to Habakkuk, write the vision. Make it plain. that men who run will see it. Then he says, the vision is for an appointed time. If it seems like it's moving slow, it really ain't. Just wait on it. And guess what? It's not going to be late. It's always going to be on time because it's for that set, what? Appointed time. It's not going to lie. It's going to be what it's going to be. And then he says something interesting. He says, you know, there's some people that their soul ain't right. They full of themselves. But I want you to remember, the righteous shall live by faith. When the answer comes from God, God doesn't always start off with the end. God begins with telling you and I, get ready for what I'm about to show you. There's a difference between God, hear my prayer, and then you get the instant, and God saying, I'm about to show you and lay out for you how this thing's really going to work. Church, we have to learn how to receive from God when he's ready to answer. The hardest thing for us to do in the church is to learn how to receive it. We want it, but we don't know how to receive it. Example, when I played football, I didn't play as a receiver, but I learned about receiver technique. A receiver technique suggests that you don't try to catch it here, you don't try to catch it here. They teach you, you got to learn how to catch like this. And people be like, well, why would you want it to hit you in the hands? You're not asking for the ball to hit you in the hands. You're trying to give it a place so you can what? Cradle it in. You want the point of the ball to land right between your fingers so you can cradle it in and pull it in. All these people that do all this stuff, they try to be cute and all this other stuff, they don't know how to catch. And that's why they what? Drop the ball. Because they don't know how to properly receive it. The church is complicit in not teaching people how to properly receive from God. People want to say instant, and God says here, it ain't instant. Y'all all right? We want God to tell us right now, and God said, well, guess what? Wait. God says, I got the answer, but I want you to what? Write it. So we got to learn how to receive so that we are prepared for when it comes that we will appreciate when it arrives. So that's all I want to share with you. So what do we need to do when the answer comes? How do we prepare for the answer? First thing we have to do to prepare is to present it clearly. What do you mean? Go back to the text. Write the vision. Stop. Make it plain. Stop. That whoever runs by it, that sees it. In other words, I need to make whatever God is trying to tell me so clear that it is undeniable that it came straight from God. Which means what? Put it down on paper. Put it in your phone. Put it in the forefront of your mind. Put it on post-it notes all over the place, even if it annoys people that you love. And let me tell you why I say it that way. There are a lot of people that believe that when they hear stuff from God, that they can what? Remember on sight. You tell them something, and they think because, you know, they just remember it. Well, let me say it a different way. There's some people that have, just like they got selective hearing, they got selective memory. And they think you told them a thing a certain way, and they say, I remember you said it. You'd be like, I ain't say none of that. It happens in the church.
people think something happened one way, and then I heard from somebody that we supposed to, that ain't none of what was said. You weren't even there. And whoever told you that was there, they didn't put it down on paper right. Make it clear. God wants to do things in your life, and you've heard God say things to you. Guess what? Put it down as a reminder. My wife asked me today, she saw my Bible, she saw my notebook, and she knows that most of the time I put all my sermons down, phone, iPad, all that stuff. But 2020, I made a commitment. I said, I need to feel like I'm doing work again. So I'm writing everything out. And she looked up and she saw my notebook, and she was like, you write? Wait. You writing again? I'm like, yeah. Because I need to put it where I can see it. And just in case I didn't hear God right the first time, I can come back and what? And make sure it is clear, so anybody that comes by and sees even the notebook knows that I'm hearing straight from God, and this is exactly what the Lord has said to me. So it's in my notebook. It's in my phone. It's in my iPad because of the cloud. It's on other pieces of paper. It's in my Bible. It's here. It's there. I can't get around it. If God has spoken something to you, you should be doing this for yourself, that you are constantly reminding yourself, thus said the Lord about my life. So if someone tries to tell you something different, all you got to do is look down and say, this is what thus says the Lord about my life. This is what God is speaking into my existence. This is what God has promised me. And I don't care what is going on around me right now. It's clear as day. And I can see it. Second thing, you got to acknowledge that fulfillment is not instant. Fulfillment is not instant. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. I shouldn't have to go no further, because all it does is redundant. The vision has an appointed time. You can't change the time. you can't change the time. I don't care what you do. You can't change the time. Just like going to try to get on a plane, right? When you're supposed to take off, that's the time that has been what? Appointed. It don't matter how early or how late you are, that's the time that has been set. So one way or another, you're either on that plane or you're not. It's an appointed time. There are things that God has promised you, and you're trying to get the insight. When is the day, hour, moment, second, whatever? Stop. Because all you need to know is God's going to tell you it's for an appointed time that I already know. I don't want you to be preoccupied about the time. I got stuff for you to do until then. It ain't coming instant. It can come instant, but certain things just ain't coming when you snap your fingers. And part of the reason is, if it came that easy, you might not appreciate it anyway. I hate TV dinners. You know why I hate TV dinners? Because number one, they don't look nothing like what's on the box. Showing me pot roast, it look like all of it brown. Like, there's all of it brown.
Really?
There's vegetables in it. You sure? The reason I don't like them is because instant doesn't fulfill. I like to cook because, not because of the end result, but because of the process. The process leads me to what? An expected end. If I follow the process, do these things, I know that on the other side of it is going to taste right. If it don't taste right, it's because I didn't what? Stay within the process. Some things in life, you just need to what? Go the course. I know you want it done now, but have some crock pot faith. Let it work. Don't touch the pot. Don't try to adjust the temperature. It's supposed to be low and slow for a reason, because when you get through, it's going to be right. You don't want no dry pot roast, so you don't want no dry promise either. Let it work. God already said it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Ain't that called a promise? God has already made a promise. It's going to come to pass. And just what? Work through it. It's not instant. But maybe this next point will help you get over that instant thing too. You got to exercise patience during the process. I'm not trying to tell you what to do per se, but maybe this is the only time I try to tell you what to do. Stop praying for patience. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you pray for patience, you are asking God to work what's supposed to exist. When people say, "You are working my patience," do you know where that comes from? Something over here will agitate what you're supposed to possess to see if you have the ability to endure it. So you're asking God to give you something that only comes from irritation. Stop asking God for something that all it's going to do is constantly irritate you anyway. What you ask God for is, help me to learn how to navigate things that may be outside my control, so that which is supposed to be within me grows, that I will be able to work through the thing and not give up when it's necessary. There's a reason why there are some people we run into that it looks like every time they're up against the wall, they seem like they're not phased. Part of it is not because they're not phased, but they've learned how to what? Walk through a thing. And after a while, you get to a point where it's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of just worrying about it. I'm going to trust that God is going to get me through this moment. I want to let, the Bible calls it, let patience have its perfect work, which means that I got to let this thing grow and develop in me in such a way that no matter what comes my way, I know that I can rest in knowing that God is still going to work it out. It's not that you're not doing anything. You've learned how to what? Just chill out. Well, when is it? I ain't entertaining that. I'm cool. You're not going to make me anxious, because I've been taught that not to be anxious for anything. Because through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I can make my request known to God. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses my understanding, will what? Keep me. I ain't gonna worry. I want to, but I know that if I hold on, God will get me through it. And sometimes that's all I need. I don't need you to tell me it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. I just need to get through it. Y'all remember what I talked about? White knuckle faith? Go back to Peter. Peter, I know that you're going to mess up somewhere, fall short. But listen, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. So just hold on.
Gotta exercise patience. Which leads to the last thing. You gotta live by faith. You gotta live by faith.
Listen, I didn't say it this way earlier, but I think this is the right place to remind you. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And guess what else? You're going to know my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead. So when I get up from here, and after I've called on God, God's going to tell me some stuff that's going to work my faith. Even if I don't see it, write it down. Even if it hasn't come to pass yet, hold on. Even if it hasn't come at the time I want it to come, keep on walking like I already got it. You got to work your faith. Stop just waiting on somebody to confirm for you. Okay.
All right.
Stop waiting on me or anybody else to tell you it's going to happen. If God said it, if God said that you're going to make it, that's just it. If God said you're going to open a business, that's just it. If God said that your children are going to be saved, that's just it. If God has already said that your house is already blessed, that's just it. If your job is acting a fool, but God said, I'm going to supply all your needs in advance, that's just it. No matter what you may think about it, whatever God has already said, so, walk like it. Stop walking up in church scared like God could. No, God can. Stop walking in here waiting for somebody to try to agree with you about what God has said to you. Oh, no. I'm going to walk up in here like God has already worked it out, and I don't even have to worry about one thing, because if I sit up in here and wait on somebody else to say, I agree with you, Pastor, no, I ain't going to wait on you. I already know that the Lord said it. It's already done. So whatever you walk in with, knowing what God has said to you, just walk in and just say, thank you, and I'll just go away. I ain't going to sweat it. I ain't going to worry. It's done. Some folk going to call you arrogant. Let them. Because 9 times out of 10, they ain't never been where you've been. And they've never seen what God can do in their life. So they looking at you like you crazy. But the truth is, you look back at them like they've lost their mind. Like, you must not know the God that I serve. I know it don't look good right now, but guess what? It's going to be all right. I know you're telling me to do it, but no, it's going to be all right. Yeah, right now it's not, but it's going to be all right. Because when I show up to it, you're going to be able to come up in here and say, it was nobody but the Lord. So when the answer comes, put it down. No, it ain't coming tomorrow. Work your patience and just what? Walk by faith. And I promise you, everything is going to be all right.